sermon this morning comes from Psalm 116. You please turn with me there. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon Him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yes, and our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Pray with me. Our God, we do rejoice in your word, and we rejoice in the salvation that you have given us. And we rejoice because you have heard us and you hear us. And we ask now, Father, as we turn to your word, as we turn to your eternal word that never changes, it never dies, it never perishes, it will never be wiped away because it is concrete, it is solid, it is eternal. God, transform our fickle hearts. Transform our fickle emotions. And make our thoughts, our wills, our hearts line up with your word. May we rejoice in you and rejoice in what you have done. And may our lives be transformed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a great uncle. His name is Andy. And because my great grandfather was a prankster, his brother's name was Amos. So they had Amos and Andy, and my great uncle Amos, he set out to writing down stories about their childhood, and their great stories of God providing for them and caring for them in really, really lean times during the Depression. And we've always gravitated to these stories. We love them because they're the stories of our history. They're the stories of where we came from. It's the story of my great-grandfather, the story of my powerful grandfather and his uncle and their adventures together. What we see in this psalm, there is a piece of history, a piece of your history that goes back even further and that is even more beautiful. When we look in verse 16, it's not readily apparent, but it says, O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. Now what we have here is something beautiful. It goes clear back to Genesis chapter 3 when God makes the promise. He makes the promise that, yes, you are outside of the kingdom and you have joined the serpent. But He tells them that there will be a seed of the woman. And that this seed will triumph. And that this will be a holy line, members of a holy family, and that the enemy will be undone. And here the psalmist proclaims, I am the child of your handmaid. Because of this, I am your servant. See, and this is the same line that you are a part of. You are a part of this holy kingdom. You are a part of this holy family, this line, the descendants of the woman who will be, who are saved, who are rescued. And this psalm, it lays out the pains of death, and it lays out the fears and the sorrows. But it goes to say that through this, I am rescued. And as a response, I will lift up the cup of salvation. In the old times, in the old covenant, they would have a banquet. And in this banquet, they would give signs. And they would have this cup and they would drink it as a sign of thanksgiving. A sign. A sign. When you think of a sign, you should think of a sign outside pointing to something. You can picture the sign in front of the church that says, Eastvale Reformed Presbyterian Church. Is that sign the church? No, it's not. But it points to a holy assembly. It points to something. And as they took this cup, it pointed to thanksgiving. It pointed to joyful hearts. And as we take this cup of salvation, we lift something that is a sign. He says here that I will walk in the face of the Lord. I will walk in the presence of the Lord. I will walk before the Lord. And that is a sign. It is a sign of your salvation. So the cry this morning as we look at this psalm is for you to lift up the cup of your salvation. And that is your life lived as a sign pointing to your salvation. A life walking before the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, proclaiming the Lord, proclaiming your salvation. So this morning, commit. Commit yourself to lifting up this sign of your salvation. Now in verses 1 and 2, we have something that is truly beautiful that we could easily skim over, but we have to stop and take a good look at it. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Rejoice in your God, being ready to hear. How precious is this? How important is this? How much should this impact us, that our God inclines to us to hear us? At one point, I took the children to the Walmart, and we were walking in, and I turned around, and I looked, and Amos was gone. And we were not far from the door, so the worst feelings start to come over you, that someone may have stolen my child. And I called out for him, and when I called out for him, I listened. I listened, hoping to hear his voice. And I told Nathaniel, you walk down the aisle this way, and I'm going to run to that door, but you stay in sight of me. And I ran, and I looked out the door frantically, fearful that I would see someone carrying away my son. And I ran back in, and I called again, Amos! And he said, here I am. And he poked out from some clothes. But when I called for that child, when I called for that child, I was longing to hear the voice of my lost son. My heart was breaking to hear the sound of his voice. And if I, being an imperfect father, want so badly to hear my child call out to me, how much more so does your perfect heavenly Father long to hear you. To hear you call out. To call out for help. Do you know how precious you are? Do you know how precious you are to the King? That He would give His Son for you. How much does He want to hear you? Do you know that if He needed to, He would shush the angels of heaven to listen to your prayer? That is how precious you are. That is how much you have been loved. And it is in your salvation that you cry out to Him. It is for salvation that you may need to cry out for Him. But He waits. And He waits to hear you. How much joy should your salvation bring? Knowing that it is the result of God listening to your dying cry. You think of someone on their deathbed, and their voice being weak and low, and someone caring enough to hear those last words, kneeling over them, putting their ear down to hear. This is how God has inclined Himself to you. And in your cry, He has scooped you up. And He has loved you. So rejoice in this. Now, thinking of the cup of our salvation and the praise that we are to lift and to offer, be mindful of the sorrows of life, the sorrows of sin and death. Look with me at verse 3. The cords of death encompassed me. The terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. You see, that Psalms doesn't sugarcoat anything, as we're called to rejoice in our salvation, but the pains of life are still so, so real. It's as if the cloak of the reaper will brush us all, and we will feel that icy grip. We will know it in the lives of others and in the deaths of others. We will know this pain and we will know this sorrow, but it is in light of this pain and in this sorrow that we can have joy and we can have peace. Immediately after my salvation, I came face to face with the pains and sorrows of death as an older woman that I loved and was a family member was on her deathbed and she was dying of cancer. And I went to visit thinking that I could offer some peace and offer some comfort. And I remember there the pain and the sorrow on the face of her husband. And there was this moment when his face contorted and he was reduced to weeping. And this was the strongest man that I had ever known. And I saw him broken by this pain. And utterly broken by the sorrow. So this is real. The pain and the hurt that we see and that we experience is real. And it is miserable. It is death's sting. And as we know that we will all draw close to this and that the Lord tarries, we will all face death ourselves. You should know that the longest misery, the most painful life that can be experienced is like a band-aid being ripped off in light of the glory of eternity that you will have with the Father if you are in Christ. I think of different painful times in the past, and I hope that you can too. And think of these times that are gone, and in that moment, it seemed like it would never end. It seemed like it was the worst thing, but now it's over, and it's gone. Someday you will look back from eternity,
And in comparison to the joy of being with the Father, these things will seem small if they are gone and as they have been washed away and as your Father has wiped away every tear, you will rest in that comfort. You will rest in that joy. So as you think of the pains and the sorrows of death, think of the joy of your eternal salvation. If these things will come and go, but you will rest in the arms of the Lord forever. Now look with me at verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. So we have to proclaim our salvation because it shows that our God is gracious. He is gracious in our Lord Jesus Christ. When you think of the people that you face from day to day and you think of their miseries, think of the pain of the unsaved, you think of their loneliness and you think of their sorrow, you think of their eternal destination, think of what you have to proclaim. Think of what you have to offer. Think of the glorious riches that are yours and are yours to be shared. When you realize that we were like peasants, trembling in the cold, and that the king stopped as he passed by to wrap his warm cloak around us. And it has been given to us. It is ours. Shouldn't we long to run and show people what we have been given? To show them the comfort that we have been given. The peace that we have been given. And do you realize that as you've been given this warm cloak and this comfort and this, as you have been given this peace and this ability to walk and stand upright, to walk without stumbling, to look and not look through tears, that you are told to point others to the King, to receive what you have been given, the peace, the joy, and the comfort. You are called to send them to the king to get their own cloak. See, this is lifting up the cup of salvation. This is proclaiming it. This is rejoicing in it. It is showing the people this sign as you live for Christ, as you proclaim Him, as you love Him in response to what you have been given. The cords of death were wrapped around you. You were tied. You were utterly vulnerable to the beast and to his legions. But you've been cut free. You have been given his strength. So proclaim this salvation. Proclaim this joy. Proclaim this peace. And bring it to others. Now part of this is to know that you were that shivering peasant. I don't know how many of you have been cold. I don't know how many of you have been really cold. But I've had the experience of falling through ice on a frozen creek. I've had the experience of having to swim out of it, breaking the ice on the way. I've had the experience of trying to get back to a campsite, not having the strength to get there and falling to my knees because my legs wouldn't respond anymore. And friends had to carry me and help me back to the fire. They had to aid me into getting warm. This is the shriveling peasant that you were. To too weak to get to any comfort on your own. Too weak to have any hope on your own. And someone else put their arm around you and took you to warmth. And took you to comfort and took you to salvation. It was a parent, or it was a friend, or it was a brother or sister in Christ, but someone loved you that much in your misery and in your pain. Do the same for others. Come alongside those who are too weak to get to the salvation, to get to the warmth of the fire. And you will be discouraged. It's tragic how frustrated we get by the people who can't walk, who can't get themselves to the fire, who are too weak to obey, who have not received mercy, who have not received new hearts. And we despise them for it. We despise them for their sin, and we despise them for rejecting the gospel. But such were you. Too weak to obey. Too weak to run to Christ. And those are the ones that we must love. Those are the ones that we must lift up. Those are the ones that we must bring to Christ and show His warmth and show His love. So bring this message and bring this peace to those who are too weak to get to the fire. Now, part of this proclaiming our salvation, part of this lifting up the cup of our salvation, is to remember that you were that peasant. To remember that you were that weak, unable to save yourself, unable to rescue yourself. That you were that dark. That you were that fallen. That you were rebels against the kingdom of God and under His wrath. Look with me at verse 6. The Lord preserves who? The simple. The Lord preserves the simple. Think of it when you refer to someone as a simple person. What do you mean by that? It's not flattering. The Lord preserves the simple, and the psalmist says, I was brought low. And He saved me. So be brought low. Be brought low. See your own holiness. See your own righteousness in the light of Christ's holiness. In the light of Christ's righteousness. And then how far are we from those that we have despised? Those we've despised in their sin, in their weakness, in their rejection of the cross. The truth is that each one of us are closer to them than we are to Christ. Closer to them as we sin in thought. Closer to them as we sin in word. Closer to them as we sin in deed. And the truth is, we are all simple. The truth is, we are all low. So as you are simple and as you are low, point to Christ. I've had experience in trying to photograph family and multiple family members of this little boy who would run and jump in front of the camera. Every time I try to take a picture of someone else and strike a silly pose with his tongue sticking out. And it has frustrated me in the past. But as we show off our own righteousness, and as we show off our own goodness, we are like this child jumping in front of the camera every time. instead of pointing to Christ, instead of pointing to who He is, instead of pointing to what He has done, consider your ministry. Consider your work. As you are to be lifting up this cup of salvation, are you pointing to Christ, or are you getting in the way with your own silly grin, with your own silly pose, and hindering people from seeing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and seeing salvation in Christ alone? Now next, this is beautiful in light of Nathaniel Prochorus and in light of his surgery. Verses 7 and 8. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. You see, Nathaniel, he talked about his joy as I visited him in the hospital. You should have seen him with his big, huge bandage around his head and a tuft of hair sticking out the top and tears in his eyes and his huge grin on his face. He said, "Oh, Micah, I've been looking forward to this surgery for months, but not looking forward to it." And he said, "And now it's behind me, and my worst fears have been relieved. I remember God's word. I remember everything. I'm able to sit, and I'm able to think, and I'm able to rejoice in what God has done." And he focused on the worst being behind him. And as we look, and as we ourselves, with a view of God's righteousness, would anticipate justice, which would be judgment on ourselves, you can say to your soul, be at rest. Be at rest, because the wrath that was due to you has been poured out on Christ. And we can each say, the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. The Lord is gracious and the Lord is just. And so we don't have this doom looming over us and this fear looming over us, but at peace, as we say to our souls, be at rest. And in this rest and in this peace, could we do anything but point to Christ? Could we do anything but point to our salvation? The deed has been done. And now, like Nathaniel, we wait for the complete recovery. Our complete glorification. And on our way, let's point others to the Savior, lifting the cup of our salvation. So we should each count the salvation of our souls as precious. Look with me at verse 8. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. As I read through Spurgeon's commentary on the Psalms, so much of it struck me when he just took a piece. And as I just looked through the italicized parts, which were just simply the scripture, before he bothered to give any commentary on it. I'd like you to think of this psalm in that light. Imagine these verses that you are able to say. For you have rescued my soul from death. Think of what that means. Meditate on that for a moment. You have rescued my soul from death. You have rescued my soul from death. You have rescued my soul from death. your most precious possession. The thing that has been given to you for all eternity has been rescued from the eternal death, from hell forever. How precious is this salvation to you? How much does it mean to you? Imagine you've all experienced seeing children get some gift that they loved so much that they took it and wanted to show it to everyone. I remember having a toy that I received asking my mom, can I take this to church? Because I loved it so much and I rejoiced in it so much that I wanted everyone to see it. How much more so should your salvation be so precious in your sight that you want everyone to see it? That you want everyone to know what the Lord has done for you? That you have been loved that much? That He loved you so much that He inclined His ear to hear a corpse? And when He heard, He scooped you up into His arms and called you son and called you daughter and gave you a firm place to stand forever. So that everything that you face, so that every sorrow that you face is just like that band-aid ripping off. Yes, it hurts, but it will pass. You have a forever healing. And you have a forever peace. So cling to this salvation. Cling to this cup and lift it up in the face of others and show others what God has done. Take this cloak and wrap it around others. Lift this cup as a righteous toast to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Showing the cup of your salvation, what He has done. And as we see in verse 9, be prepared to walk before the Lord forever. One of Spurgeon's good quotes was, those who have walked before the Lord in life will not fear Him in their last moments before death. Walk before Him, and this is a sign of your salvation. To share with others, and not in a prideful way, not in the slightest, but in humility. In humility, because we were that corpse. We were the one with legs too weak to get to Christ on our own. And we see something great in verses 14 through 18, and in verses 19. Let's jump to 19. In the courts of the Lord's house. In the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. We see that even in the midst of our own assembly, in our own church family, we are to proclaim salvation. We are to proclaim His goodness and proclaim what He has done. Nathanael's surgery was great and it's a beautiful thing, but it pales next to the work of salvation. How much more so should we rejoice even now that He has heard us and shown us His mercy? How much more so even now should we lift the cup of salvation and encourage one another to praise Him and to rejoice in Him and encourage one another in our salvation in the midst of our sorrows? That's the cry. The cry from Psalm 116, the cry from this eternal word. Lift the cup of salvation, pointing one another and the rest of the world to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for what You have done. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for hearing us. And now, God, do in us a great work. A mighty work. Inspire in us now the desire to lift the cup of salvation, rejoicing in You, in Your mercy. and in your goodness. Thank you for hearing us. Now, God, send us forth in your strength to proclaim your graciousness, your compassion, your justice, and the mercy that we have received. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now our next song.